saved my life completely and gave me victory. I know Him. He knows me. I know Him. He knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, He rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, He takes me higher than the trees. I know Him.
I know Him.
He knows me. When the book of life is open and the Lord looks down the roll, there will be some there on that day. He'll say, I don't know. When He calls my name on that day, He'll turn to me and say, I know Him.
I know Him.
He knows me. I know Him. He knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, He rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, He takes me higher than the trees. I know Him.
I know Him.
He knows me. When I fall down on my knees, He takes me higher than the trees. I know Him.
I know Him.
He knows.
For those of you who are watching the news down south, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see some interesting stuff happening. The corruption is unbelievable. If anybody doesn't believe in the world ending, he should have watched the news. We were close to it. And for somehow, God postponed it a little bit. So we're going to have some fun as God reveals the corruption that human beings have. After a while, even if there's proof that they're wrong, they don't even care. There is one guy asked a rabbi, if people would have a choice in having a country that is good, everything running nice, low taxes, and had a choice between that and abortion, all the same-sex marriage and all that, well, who would they take? And he said they would take the opposite of good because men's hearts are evil. Man who is not with God, they go from bad to worse. If God wouldn't have a place called the lake of fire, heaven would be corrupted in a matter of a few years. So that's why God places those people there, because they are following their father, the devil. And just like evil has no stopping, you get worse and worse. The same thing happens to you when you become born again. You might have a slow start like this year. All the plants have a slow start because of cold, because of no rain. But you'll start growing. He that has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You'll see it yet. How did Job say, when my flesh shall see God, it's going to be great, hallelujah. And when I awoke, I'll be in His likeness. That's what the psalmist said. When I will awake, I'll be in His likeness. So you can't beat that. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be pure. The question is, human beings have a tendency, especially when they're young, when they get older, they need all sorts of help. They need this pill and that pill. They need a pill for getting up. They need a pill for going to sleep. They need a pill to give them appetite. They need a pill to go to the washroom, you know, all these things. You know, this body, it's got a good destination, into the ground. Bye-bye, see you. But me, the inner me who lives in this body, gonna live forever. But before I live forever, I have to understand that I'm separated from God. And look at what the Word of God teaches us in Psalm chapter 62 in verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And to be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. So that's the status of a human being who's not born again by the Spirit of God. He's lighter than vanity. Like a puff of wind, he's gone. And the Bible teaches us that we're all slaves. The human being is a slave. And when you're a slave, you need somebody to redeem you, to buy you. You couldn't just say, I'm no slave anymore. If you did that and ran away, they would kill you or come back and chop off half of your foot. Has anybody ever watched the movie Roots where they chopped off this guy's foot? He ran away too often. So he gave him a little limp for the rest of his life. So are we slaves? I'm not. I came out of slavery. I was bought and paid for by a person that wanted to set me free, and his name is Jesus Christ. So the question is, have we come out of slavery? I listened to a guy this morning who must have been watching my programs on YouTube because I couldn't believe the message he preached. He preached my words. He preached my message word for word. And I said, bless you, guy. Thank you for listening. Interesting guy. His name is Clafro Dollar. Anybody ever heard of him? And I couldn't believe, whoa, this guy has changed messages. And, you know, it's great that people understand salvation. And today I will teach on this. I want you to open your eyes, your ears. Why am I still sinning? What's the problem? Am I really pure, holy, and good? Who says it? Well, the Word of God teaches it. When can we get to know that? How do you know something is true? When you study the Word and believe what it says. Then it starts working in your spirit. And as soon as it works in your spirit, the belief system starts working in you. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you will open our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can come together and just enjoy and share the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, we have to understand before we're born again, we're vanity, lighter than air. We have absolutely no value as far as God is concerned. But once he pulls us out of that slavery, then something happens to us. And it's amazing what the Bible teaches us happens. We may not see it. We may not even know it in some cases. But that doesn't change the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us that we are pure and holy in the sight of God. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 62 in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only, that word only, I love the way he puts it. There is no other God, there is no other religion, there is no other nothing. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. He pounds it word after word after word. He is my defense. I will restart reading it again. My soul, wilt thou only upon God, not upon your religion. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Now listen to this. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. God has spoken once, twice I heard this, that power belongs unto God. So you can see the psalmist, that's King David, found an incredible strength and source. He was never moved. Oh yes, when you study his lifestyle, I'm telling you, you have to scratch your head and neck at the same time. What on earth was this guy trying? But the Bible teaches that he always was seeking after God's own heart. He was always looking for God. The Bible says he's a man after my own heart. That means he's after my heart. He wants to know how I feel. And David, King David, always found forgiveness. Even though he had to pay the consequences, he always found forgiveness. And the Bible teaches he's one of the greatest patriarchs that ever lived. Hallelujah. So look at his lifestyle. Study him and you'll find out that you may be even a little better than he is when it comes to living. But when it comes to his spirit man communicating with God, he's hard to beat. Study the Psalms and you will see it. And he understood who his God was. Now listen to how the average person is, the religious person. Romans chapter 10 in verse 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. That word ignorant, anybody knows what it means? It means you don't know. You're ignorant. You don't understand. You don't see. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is God's righteousness? And what does it mean to be ignorant of God's righteousness? When I go on YouTube or when I go on Facebook, I can immediately see when somebody understands righteousness. They want to please God by their filthy rags. Somehow they figure when they do good, they're going to be pleasing to God. Yes, doing good should be your natural tendency. But here is what most people think following God is. They're programmed, they're pre-programmed. The stuff is still in their brain. From whatever religion they come out of, and they become Christians, many of them will feel that doing good is what they have been taught in their religion. And it varies from religion to religion. You study these people and you will see it. This is exactly how it is. And they forget what it means to be righteous. Yes, they have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but after a while, they go back to the beggarly elements of the world. Touch not, taste not, handle not, wear this, do that. And guess what? God is asking, where are you going? They have forgotten what righteousness really means. What does it mean? The righteousness of God is perfection. It's holiness, purity. The spirit in you has become pure and holy and acceptable to God as he made it. He made it. He made us this way. The other two parts in us, we have to follow suit. Eventually, we will make it. The flesh will always be against us. Our soul, which has been trained, will operate in the way it has been trained. So there's always a battle going on. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hallelujah. How is that? In many cases, it's the good, the ugly, and the bad. So either which way, look at yourself in the mirror. You will know who you are. God wants us to understand we are righteous, we're holy, we're pure, but you have to fight these other two guys and bring them into line. The righteousness of God is perfection. How do we get to see the righteousness of God? Colossians chapter 2 in verse 3 says, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you want to seek righteousness, holiness, and how to live for God, you don't go back to your religion where you've been trained. They, at the best, made a mockery out of salvation. And from that was that's an evil root they had. So what good can come from an evil root? Nothing. So in him are hid the treasures. So you don't go back and say, well, we grew up this way, and this is what we were taught. We should wear this dress, or we should operate like this. No, leave that all. And go to God and seek his wisdom and seek his knowledge. And he will start to inform you what is right or what is wrong. He will put his laws into your hearts and into your minds. Will he write them? Many people figure they come from a good religion. It took me a while to believe and to see clearly that I came from a total deception. A total deception. It would have led me into the eternal lake of fire. I know that for a fact. If I would have followed the path of my forefathers. Interesting statement. But that's the truth. And I will not hold back from telling people this. If you will follow the footsteps of your forefathers who were not Christians, you will end up where they are, in the eternal lake of fire. So we have to turn to Jesus for wisdom and for knowledge. Now listen to Colossians chapter 2. This is a good one in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of man. Very interesting. Re-preaching what I just said. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if we're in him, that's where our fullness comes from. Listen to the next line here. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. What completes you? When you are in Christ Jesus. That's what completes you. God is a good God, and he will keep us from any evil and any harm if we follow these incredible truths. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him. Have you ever figured that one out? Have we ever figured that one out? We are complete in him. Why are we then discouraged in everyday life? if we're complete in him, if we know who we are, study the word, a relationship with him does wonders. How come people are depressed in these days? Depression is a terrible problem amongst God's people. You know why? They have accepted Jesus. They were on a high for a while. And then they fall back into sin. They find out they're still the same person that they were before they became Christians. And they figure, what's wrong with me? Why am I not changed? It is because you have a fight with your old self. And you need to put up that fight. It's nothing to be depressed about, because we fight from victory and not for victory. So cheer up. You'll win in the end. I can guarantee you that. Hallelujah. How do I know? The one that started a work in me, he started from the end and he brought it to the beginning. So he knows exactly what is going to happen, to the point where the Apostle Paul said, I am confident he is able to keep what I have committed unto him unto that day. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised. This is where it really brings the hammer down. I want you to pay close attention to this. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. God circumcised you. He circumcised. He took that root of sin that was in there. He gave you an operation. It's circumcision means an operation here. He took out that lump of sin and replaced it with what? With his righteousness, with his holiness, and his purity. Listen, I'll read it again. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It's God that did it. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. God destroyed the sin in your flesh. How? By his flesh, taking your sin and my sin upon himself. Now we are complete in him. So here we have scripture after scripture after scripture showing us who we are, but somehow many don't read the fine print. They can't seem to get it through their head into their heart that they are complete in Christ Jesus, made so by what he did on the cross for us. Listen to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. You being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How does that bring a smile to you? He has forgiven you all trespasses. How about the one that I am going to trespass tomorrow? Well, that was 2,000 years ago when he forgave me my trespasses, so they go way out into the future. He has forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah. That's why Satan hits the cross. He knows if people find out what the cross stands for, he loses power over them. Satan, the biggest power he has is deception and lies. If he can keep you from believing that you have been perfected at the cross, then he's got his work done. He will get you into religion where you're going to be pious as King Pope, the pious, whoever he was. They had some names, those popes, man of living. When you go down the list through the ages, one was pious, one was your grace, one was this, one was that. But I wonder if any one of them ever really had salvation. He says, the ordinances that were written against us. What are the ordinances? The laws that were written. The laws that were put there. You shall not do this, you shall not do that. They were taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Now they're there to instruct us, but never there again to condemn us, because they were nailed to the cross. The ordinance that was there was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. Next time you go down the highway, pretend that the speed limit sign has been changed to 100 miles an hour. And then go for it. We'll see what will happen. Don't try it. Don't do it, because you're going to get caught. But for us, it's sure. King David knew there was no speed limit. And he drove as fast as he could. He had to suffer the consequences. Even though he himself was saved, he still had to suffer it. So this is what the ordinances are. They're there for us as guidelines, as a way of living, but they're not there to condemn us. So please follow the ordinances, but don't think that they are going to condemn you, because they're not. You follow them to keep a stable life on this earth. Hallelujah. If you love your God, great. If you don't kill, you're not going to go to prison. If you do not commit adultery, your marriage will stay pure and good. If you don't lie, if you don't steal, you'll feel good about yourself. On and on you can tell these things. So it says, these are not condemning us. They were taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Listen to Colossians chapter 3. If they were taken out of the way, if that's final, let's see what Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things of above, not on things of the earth. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So, where do we set our affections? On our toys or on things above? Your life can be over tomorrow. I kid you not. I was at a friend's funeral not too long ago. A week before, even a couple of weeks before, we didn't even have an iota of a thought that she would be gone. But guess what? She is now rejoicing in heaven. The things of this earth are gone. Her problems are gone. Her payments are gone. Now she doesn't have to worry about winter. She doesn't have to worry about a garden. She doesn't have to worry about giving her grandkids presents. That'll be a big relief for her, hallelujah, because that's where all her money went. So God relieved her. He took her home, and now she's living a blessed life. And this is what he's saying. Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And you will find out how liberating that is. Somehow, your house will become perfect. Your job will be nice. Your car will drive better. Everything will look better if you start setting your affections on the things that are above. You look into the mirror and you'll say, I look good. Never mind, I have to go to the gym. I don't need to diet all the time. I'll just Rejoice in what Jesus did, and diet will come by itself. Hallelujah. It's Christ who's changed our life, who made us perfect. So we should set our things on that. And you will notice a change in your attitude and in your life. So where are we today? Let's keep one thing in mind. We need to seek the will of God. Never mind what your religion said was the will of God. We need to seek what the Word of God says is the will of God. We need to go forward with Him. And here's the problem. The world is lost. They're lost, dead in trespasses and sin. They're going into the eternal lake of fire. They have one shot at eternal life. And this is from the time they're born until they're dead. I don't know how long that is. But they got one chance. It's not going to come back. And God has given us. He has given us the commission to reach them, to talk to them, to pray for them. How often do we pray for the lost? Do we get together to pray for the lost? How much time do we spend in seeking the lost and asking God to forgive them or to show them? Listen to who the lost is. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 9. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 9. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. That's in the New Living Testament. At first I read it in the King James. Now I'll read it in the New Living Testament. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. That is for sure. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Very, very interesting. We have a job to do. First, we have to know who we are. Then we have to seek the lost. They're going into the eternal lake of fire. Our backgrounds, I look at this crowd here, huge crowd, and we all have a background where people are dying and going to hell. They're being led by Satan because many believe they're on the right track. Many believe they're doing what is right, but it's up to us to give them the word. And it is the word of God that'll work in their hearts. Don't worry if they reject you. Don't worry if they don't like you. Just give them the word, and the word itself will do its work. The Bible teaches us, my word will not return void. That's what we need to do, and that's what we're going to do. So open your heart to this. First, find out who you are. Put that down and stamp it. And the next thing, seek the Lord on what you should do with the rest of your life. And let me tell you, He'll show up, He'll tell you. And that's when you need to stand and not faint. Go for it, because God has an amazing life ahead for those who want it. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
It is well with my soul.
that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, with my soul.
It is well
with my soul.